Welcome to A New Testament Journey. We'll have our Bible reading followed by our devotional.
Mark 10. Jesus then left that place and went into the region of Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What did Moses command you?" He replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," Jesus replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." When they were in the house again, the disciples asked Jesus about this. He answered, "Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." At this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." They were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road.
Mark's thrust seems to be that if you aren't willing to be considered scum, then you need to step off the Jesus train. There is nothing glorious about being last, about being dirt poor, or about being like a little child. As Job found out, even a holy person in such a position will be patronized, despised, and disrespected. The bitter truth is that those who are last have next to no status. They are assumed to have not worked hard enough, or to have messed up personally, or to be just plain ignorant. People generally don't listen to the poor, just as they don't listen to children. They are there to be looked after by us, not the other way around. So Jesus' call to become the last is really very hard. And so I'm struck by the amazing privilege I've had to be part of churches where so many have been so prepared to knuckle down and divest themselves of status. I've seen qualified professionals pick up litter for Jesus, or try their best to soothe a sorrowful stranger, or to bite their lip when someone else in small group cuts them off. I've also seen some of the poorest among us lead the way in serving on kids' teams, or making meals for their neighbours, or in grovelling on the floor in thanksgiving before their God. These people are utterly inspiring. They divest themselves of status for the sake of their God. They help me stay on the Jesus train. And the attractiveness of serving others isn't just because humility is beautiful. Jesus also says he is preparing for us 100 times more than we've ever left or given away. While serving others may cause us to be disrespected or patronized or persecuted by those around us right now, Jesus will one day bring a great reversal when all things are put right. That will be a great day for us. Oh, what a day. The destination of this train is going to be everlasting and glorious. Jesus has already been there and he popped back to show us what it's like. The more we look at that day, the more we can be like children right now. Our adulthood is ahead of us. All we need to do now is hang out with our Father and humbly do every humble thing that he wants us to do. Because that is beautiful. And because that will bring us a very great reward on the day when Jesus returns. Here's a question for reflection. Today, how could you humble yourself like Jesus?
We pray God's word bears fruit in your life. For all the information about the New Testament Journey, head to www.anewtestamentjourney.net.